Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by SmartThings. SmartThings lets you monitor, control, and automate your home from wherever you are using your smartphone. Right now, SmartThings is offering All About Android listeners 10% off any home security or solution kit and get free shipping in the U.S. when you go to smartthings.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT at checkout. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used HTC and other Android devices are worth at gazelle.com. And by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace which connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 204, recorded on Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And what do we have here? We have not one, but two awesome guests. First of all, welcoming back after a long hiatus from the show, Gina Trapani, ThinkUp. How you doing, Gina?
Good. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so great.
Just like old times.
I know.
Yeah.
Although,
yeah, it's a cool house tonight. Loving it.
Although, Gina used to be here.
Wait a minute.
Was Gina next to me and then the guest was over there?
No, well, no.
I'm confused. I don't remember. It's been so long, I don't remember.
I know. No, I
think
forgot Gina
what
was
your
over
laugh
here.
Sounded like Gina.
It was like decades ago in internet years.
That's true. It's true. Awesome to have you back. Also, Aaron Newcomb.
Yes.
Returning to the show once again.
Returning.
Always great to have you on. Yeah. How have you been?
I've been awesome. It's kind of like a reunion show.
It is. I feel like
I've been here before. This is comfortable. This is
nice.
This is
like early 2014. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All
right.
These are my people. We're here together. It's good.
Exactly.
This is cozy. Yes. Been looking forward to this episode a lot, and it's great to have you guys back. I apologize in advance. I feel like by the end of this show, I'm not going to have any voice anymore.
Did you catch what Brian had?
I don't think so. Brian, what did you have? You were out last week. Are you okay?
I was not sick at all. I didn't have anything.
Oh.
I just went on a trip.
Oh, somehow that got translated into Brian's home.
Yeah, totally. It actually did.
Nope, I've been perfectly fine.
Oh,
I went to Hearst Castle.
So. Oh, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a good trip.
Did you make a story on Google Plus about it?
I did. I'll share that later.
All right, cool.
We can't wait. Well, it's good to have you back.
I'm glad you didn't catch what he had.
Yeah, man, I'd have vacation. I'd have vacation right now if I caught what he had. Actually, I would take a little bit of that.
Yeah, Hearst Castle's beautiful. We'll see it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. So it's a reunion episode all around. This week we have a lot to discuss. Obviously, Android 5.1 and how it finally exists for real. NVIDIA's Shield Android TV box. Customizing your Moto 360 on Moto Maker. Kind of cool. Especially on this week where there's, you know, some wearable news. That big news in the wearable space. And a lot more. But Brian, warm up those vocal cords. It's time for the news.
In a galaxy that's not far, far away, it's time for Android News.
Ooh, throwback.
It is.
Throwback to pre-show.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why you need to watch live and tune in at 5 o'clock Pacific time so you can hear about the nonsense we talk about before the show starts and get the joke.
Yeah.
So it's good to have Gina back so we can lean on her and have her take a story.
I know. We're going to.
This is awesome.
We're going to take a break, all right?
Yeah, guest of honor.
Just going to sit back and relax.
Yeah, do that. Do that. Listen, give your voice a rest and let me handle this, Jason.
All right. No problem.
So Google officially announced Android 5.1. The rollout starts today. So the Nexus devices, the factory images for Nexus devices were posted, and 5.1 was also posted to AOSP for flashing parties worldwide, of course. New features confirmed directly from Google itself include multi-SIM card support, device protection for lost stolen devices that require Google sign-in even after a reboot and even after a factory settings wipe, a reset.
That's good.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
HD voice calling for compatible devices and carriers, and a bunch of other minor updates, just nice kind of like icon animations and fixes to system volume, ringer settings. There's no mute, but there's new icons for, you know, what mode you're in, priority, you know, off. volume on, access to Ringer system volume settings while media is playing back by tapping the bell icon, fixed to a memory leak issue. It just looks like a lot of little minor things, just kind of smoothing out some edges. So this is looking pretty good. Of course, I don't yet have Lollipop at all, so I have to turn to you all, Lollipop wielding folks, and ask you, like, is there anything in 5.1 that you're have any of you gotten 5.1?
I was gonna say, yeah, I couldn't.
That you're really excited about?
Couldn't tell you if there's anything that I've noticed because I haven't gotten it yet. So I did notice that the system update screen has changed in 5.0.1, which I didn't realize, or in Lollipop. I guess I never even checked.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I didn't realize. Now it gives you this sunny, calming,
a little more fancy.
Your system is up to date, as it's gonna make me.
I want to see bits raining from the sky. Like, bring the over the air update now. It's just a calm.
I'm waiting. Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't win the lottery. I was going to flash it, but then I remembered something, and it made me second guess my desire to flash. Okay, there are ways to flash these in a dirty sort of way where it doesn't wipe your phone entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't smart enough to find that, and I was kind of like, you know, it's like a couple hours before showtime. I don't want to mess things up.
Yeah, the perfect time to install it.
Right.
To
but I almost did because I felt like one of us needed to have it. So I was just going to like wipe my phone and start fresh and everything. But what I realized is Google Music now has the 10 authorizations limit, and if I do that, that's
it's gonna
one
bump it
away.
Up, and then you're going to have to go.
You have to deauthorize.
You can deauthorize.
You just have to know to deauthorize first.
Right.
Right, and you only have 4 deauthorizations in a year.
Right.
Right.
And you have up to 10 devices. I already ran into that.
You are an
limit.
Edge case, though. You're an edge case.
I am. Yeah. I am. And they reset it for me. So now that they reset it, I feel like I have to be responsible with it. So I'm like, I don't know if that's worth it for a point
that
update.
That never occurred to me. You're thinking ahead.
It wouldn't have occurred to me either if I hadn't hit that ceiling and had to work with Google to get it reset.
Yep.
Right.
Which was just kind of a pain. And they did it, and they were happy to do it. They said, you know, this one time, they made sure to point it out, this one time correction to your blah-de-blah.
These are neat changes, and they're nice to see. Kind of, it truly is a point release, but there's nothing in here where I'm like, oh, God, thank God they're doing that. Yeah. I mean, maybe the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on the notification pane thing, but we talked about that already. You know, I think, you know, dual SIM support doesn't apply to me. HD voice, that could be cool.
I think that's
cool,
yeah.
But, I mean, I talk on my phone so little, I'm not really that worried
that's
about
true.
It. You
good
know,
point.
But that's only going to work between Nexuses, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So
yeah,
even
right.
then, you're so devices.
limited
in when you're actually going to hear it. I bet it's going to be a shock when you first hear it. Like,
I know.
Holy cow, do you have a Nexus device?
You wait know, a minute, what's going on here? Why do you sound so clear?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Jason and I are going to be talking to each other like teenagers every night. We're like, so, how was your day?
Good. How are you doing, Ron?
You sound really good.
You sound like you're right next door.
I was excited to see that they finally changed the default Android icon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the little 3D Android guy is now changed to just an Android head when you go into the apps and the settings. I mean, that's just such a nerdy thing to look at. But
It's little things.
But, yeah, but, I mean, it's a point release, as it should be.
Right. Yeah, and the what was the Sound HUD, which was my app from a couple of weeks ago, is somewhat – kind of less needed based on the volume changes that they made in 5.1 that allow you to, you know, tap into your system volume settings when media is still playing back. You tap that alarm icon. So that's nice.
Yeah,
you
that's
get
the biggest
extra
one.
Access to that.
That's the biggest one. Being able to adjust the system volume when listening to music or listening to media, that's going to be huge.
What's even nicer than that is I was able to secure a win with Sound HUD before that happened. So
Good timing.
What about the device protection? What do you guys think about that? Because I'm a little worried. I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great that it appears to be an optional setting. Because what I'm worried about is for people that you want to run mods on their phone, where in the device does this actual protection take place? Because they say even if you do a factory reset, it still asks for your Google credentials. And so I'm really worried, or not really worried, because like I said, you can. It looks like you can turn it off. But where does this take place? Because if it interferes with me rooting my device or putting another ROM on there or doing something crazy. Yep. I'm a little bit worried about that. Like all of a sudden there'll be some new hoop that I have to go through or something. So I'm just a little worried about that. I think it's great for the general public though. Don't get me wrong. This is going to be wonderful for people that, you know, are worried about losing their phone or whatever, but,
yeah. And hopefully it's got, you know, the usual kind of bug fixes, optimizations, you know, battery life kind of things that aren't really, you can't point to, oh, that one thing changed and now my phone works better, but it just gets tighter and works better.
Right. Yeah. Android Central says with this feature enabled. I don't know if that necessarily means it's enabled because it's part of 5.1,
right?
Or it's enabled in the options.
Right. That's why I'm saying I'm not sure if that's because it doesn't actually make sense. They said that the reason they put this in there was in response to certain states that are actually requiring this level of protection for devices, and that may be part of the reason. But that's exactly the sentence I read and was like, oh, maybe this will be an option. So I can either enable the security setting or disable the security setting.
Yeah, enabled makes me think that. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's but it may part just be the way the sentence was written. So, of course, it would be offered in 5.1. Enabled sounds like you have a choice.
Right, right.
I suppose we don't know that for sure yet.
Yep.
And I feel like the community would have raised a stink if it already, you know, even that this was a couple of days ago, right? Or this week. I feel like even by now, if this was an issue with rooting, we would have heard about it. I'm sure it isn't. It just sounds like it's opt-in.
Well, I hope so.
And there's already 5.1 ROMs floating out there and everything. Yeah. So it would be a big deal, and there would be quite the stink raised if it actually affected that in the way that you're talking about. So I'm hopeful and pretty optimistic that it's probably an optional feature. But definitely good changes. It's nice to hear Google actually acknowledge 5.1 exists for a change. It took them a long time, you have to admit. This is like a couple of weeks where we're like, we know it's out there.
It's on phones. Don't
just
say it.
Just tell us.
Enjoy it on your Nexus devices, gentlemen.
Oh,
grumble.
Yeah, I know. You know, in this time without my Nexus 6, still waiting for the replacement, by the way, I've been bouncing back and forth between OnePlus 1 and the Nexus 5, and it's hard for me to stay on the OnePlus with every growing week because of the lack of Lollipop, you know, pushed to it. The lack of Lollipop.
A lack of Lollipop. I think we got a show title. Lollipop.
It's true, though. I mean, like, I honestly don't think, like, going. I had a phone in my hand that a friend of mine's phone that wasn't on Lollipop, and I was like, oh, like it felt different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could go back. I really don't. Like, once you go, you can't. Yeah.
Oh, now I have to worry about a good nerd picking up my phone and outright judging me for not. Wow.
I'm just saying, it's noticeable. It's kind of like whenever you're watching this. I don't know if you're like me, but whenever you're watching TV and they've got people text messaging and it's like iOS 5 and it's like the older chat bubbles or whatever, it's not the flat from iOS, or if it's an older version of Android or something, whatever, I just notice, you notice it. That's all.
You do notice it. And I've been watching House of Cards.
Yeah.
And, you know, Windows is obviously a sponsor of House of Cards, because every time they show the phone, it looks like it's the Windows phone thing. Yeah. And it's like, come on, really? Like, that's what the White House uses, these Windows phone?
I don't think so. Leo in chat is agreeing with you, Aaron. You guys are on the same plane of
thought. Oh, yeah. He just chimed in. That's funny. Yeah, that was really – I noticed that, like, episode one, like, the first 10 minutes they showed it, and I'm like, oh, come on now. Yeah. Really? Really? And I'm a little bummed. I'm not bummed. I mean, I'm excited. But, you know, I like to have the latest and greatest. And I've been holding off updating my my NVIDIA Shield tablet for a little while. They came out with a couple of rounds of updates. And I was like, I don't have time to mess with it, whatever. Mm-hmm. So finally today – actually yesterday.
20 minutes before the show starts.
No, yesterday I'm like, okay, I'm going to apply these updates. And it's a pain because when I do, it's a rooted device. So I have to go and reroot it every time I do an update. And I had to do that twice. So I applied the updates twice now in the past couple of days and got it all set. Everything's working fine. And then I look at the show notes and I look at the news and it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to have to do this again. Because actually NVIDIA has been pretty good about putting out, you know, getting the updates out to for the Shield tablet. They've been really good about it, which is great. But I'm just like, oh, here we go again. I've got to apply the update, reroot, get everything set up.
Yeah, there was a
time
I enjoyed.
It's a first world
time
game,
that I enjoyed that process.
You were the nightly build guy.
But a couple of years ago, yes.
Yeah.
Now, man.
You can be like me and stick with stock. I'll just take what they give me.
I don't got time for that. Time to root ROM and flash and blah, blah, blah. Just give me the update. That's all I ask. That's why I run Nexus.
Well, speaking of something else that you won't have time for,
coming
out of GDC, it seemed like the big thing that everyone was talking about coming out of the game developer conference that was in San Francisco last week was virtual reality. It was all over the place. We're going to talk about it a little later on in the show. But coming out of GDC and all the talk about VR, the Wall Street Journal is now reporting from a few sources within Google that apparently Google is working on a version of Android targeted at virtual reality support. A group of engineers are currently working on the project, but Google didn't comment publicly about the effort. Clay Bavor, I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, who's from the Cardboard team, which has been downloaded over a million times now, is supposedly heading the effort. So looks like Google isn't stopping at Cardboard. They're going to go full VR version of Android if these sources are correct.
They're going full on Vive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting because when I read that, I'm like, oh, well, then if they do that, then you don't need a headset that has a phone that snaps into it. It's just the headset. And it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, especially particularly because Cardboard has been, you know, such a low rent success. I mean,
right?
and very timely because it really does seem like at this point, you know, but 3 months into 2015, VR is a very kind of hot topic right now, and way more viable than it was even, you know, less than a year ago.
So 6 months ago, I mean, we were making jokes. I mean, we still are, but we've been making lots of jokes at VR's expense.
Man, I want one. I want one really bad. At this point, especially, even more.
Yeah, but it's nice to see that they're not stopping at the ViewMaster.
Yeah.
That's not like their little entry. But I mean, to see a version of, because once you have a version of Android that is completely dedicated to VR and you have it integrated into the headset, that's that much less hardware and that much, you know, less inside hardware inside the device, and you just have a great headset that works utilizing all these stuff that they've learned from the Cardboard experience, everything else. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Aaron, would you use it? Would you?
I probably would, although, you know, Leo and I and I guess Jason and we were all talking about this on this week in Google about VR versus AR.
Yeah.
You know, and which is the right way to go. And so I think, you know, VR is fine. I'm a gamer, so I'd love to have it for games, definitely. But augmented reality and the stuff that they were doing with Google Glass is actually a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some sort of mixture between the two.
Yeah, I really think that there's no reason to siphon them out and say one works and the other doesn't. I think they both exist, and they both exist for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, VR, to me, just seems like such a next-gen gaming platform play, which is, you know, a lot of what we're seeing. And, you know, gaming is always about the experience and about immersion and all that kind of stuff. So I think it makes perfect sense. AR is useful in a completely different way, and Google Glass kind of proved that. It's nice to have, you know, kind of that heads-up information right in front of you. Google Glass may, you know, depending on who you ask, may have been successful in that or not, but it certainly showed the value of that kind of information presented to you in kind of a passive sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they both exist just for different reasons.
Well, there was some sort of device you put on your head that you could cover up and do VR, but then flip it and then it's transparent and you could do AR. And,
well, if it has a camera, it doesn't even need to flip it, right? It's just like...
It's just pass-through,
yeah.
That's actually the Gear VR had the pass-through.
Oh, really?
Right, yeah. And it was really weird, like, because you'd be in this environment and then you turn on pass-through and... Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what's actually in front of me, but I'm still kind of watching it on TV.
Well,
like,
right, and that's why I want to try the Microsoft. I want to try that HoloLens thing for Microsoft, because that's kind of, you know, a thing on your head, but it's totally clear and you're seeing around. It's not as immersive as VR, but that's AR, Google Glass times 10, you know, so I don't know. It's crazy. I would never have thought VR would get this much traction this much quickly, and I still wonder if it's a solution looking for an audience.
Mm-hmm.
But
right. I mean, is traction meaning that's getting tons of money and lots of R&D, or like the consumer? I mean, we don't know yet if consumers actually really want this.
That's the big question.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
But I mean, it's certainly getting money. How much did Facebook pay for Oculus?
A lot. Yeah.
Couple of billion dollars. So
someone was going to. That was more of an arm. I think that was more of an arms race purchase than a, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
and like you said, we're going to talk more about VR and hardware. But it's very, very interesting to see kind of the developments that are happening very rapidly at this point.
If anti-nausea drugs weren't generic at this point, I would suspect it was the drug industry that was behind this. You know, they just want to sell more Dramamine.
You never know. I like the way you think.
The cruise industry and VR—that's their main lobby. It's like...
We've got an idea to make money. Let's see here. Google. We discussed last week actually that Google is seemingly interested in becoming an MVNO to provide cellular coverage to users. Sundar Pichai mentioned this pretty briefly at Mobile World Congress last week about Google's interest in doing this, and Google's MVNO effort is essentially. The way it's going to do this is going to split its coverage between a few different networks. So T-Mobile, Sprint, Wi-Fi, it'll choose the best network at any given moment, supposedly, and it'll hop onto that and back and forth. Well, the Wall Street Journal, yet again, had a report, another report from multiple sources, says the MVNO will target, Nexus 6 devices only at first. That must be just a launch thing to kind of test the waters. And could launch as soon as this week. You know, totally. Launching this week. I don't buy it. I suppose stranger things have happened.
Buy now. Happened. Blinking. I know. See banners.
I know. All you Nexus 6 users.
That makes sense, though, because it's a dedicated audience. It's a contained audience. It's a group that has already proven that they have brand loyalty to Google. Yeah. You know, like, I mean,
that's true. That's
you know, like, I'm a Nexus user, and I would consider this totally because, you know, although T-Mobile's been really good to me, and I don't, you know, like, this is.
Yeah, but this is like. This is like multiple good worlds all wrapped into
it
one.
Really
well,
is.
I don't know if you call it Sprint a good world.
Right.
Any of my experience with Sprint has not been good world in air quotes, but having it hop between like that, that seems like a great kind of approach. The service will not work with older Nexus devices. Mm. So if you're Nexus 5 or earlier than that, or older than that, it's not going to work, supposedly. So I'm supposed to get my Nexus 6 replacement this week.
Hypothetically.
I said this last week, and then they sent me an email saying you need to pay, even though I did, and it's been a long, complicated process. But anyways, I should be getting my Nexus 6 when I do, and if this happens.
Will you do it?
I will absolutely do it.
All right. I like it.
Yes.
Good stuff.
I want to.
I want to see it. I want to see it in
action.
Believe. I want to hear that HD voice coming through the MVNO.
Right.
Yeah.
We just need somebody else to get a Nexus 6 so that we can hear it. Yeah.
All right. So let's see here. Before we hit the break, let's answer a quick email. I don't know if it's an answer, but I thought it was
an email
comment. Were you a BBSer?
I was. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
I had a feeling he was.
Yeah, BBSs were gold mine.
They were.
And there was whole communities around them. So here's an email that talks about BBSs.
It was a topic last week that came up randomly.
This is from Doug from Kentucky. He says, "Hey, guys. You were all, I can't even read. You were all crying that it was bad for BBSs, that BBSs are not around anymore and how you miss them. They are still around. They are on the internet too, and they're called forums. You can find one to cover almost any subject you can dream of."
I don't know.
See Doug from Kentucky who wrote in about this. I think you mistook what we were talking about. There was sentimental reminiscing about the days of BBSing. Versus, I don't want to dial in to another mode. Although I still do have my U.S. Robotics Courier HST 38.4 baud modem that I bought with my own money, which came in a box that was like this big and was several hundred dollars and allowed me to download pirated games that much faster. Statute of limitations is 20 years.
I think it's something
but,
like that.
Yeah, forums are on, but they're not the same. There was something about I'm dialing into this bulletin board system and the connection, it was something magic.
There's something about watching the cursor draw characters letter by letter at 300 baud speeds that just builds up your excitement for all the fun that is contained.
There was a sense of community, I think, built up around certain servers and, I know the server op. I can, get special things going on.
And also, as an operator around the software, like last week I was reminiscing about Teleguard. I ran a Teleguard BBS and I could get in there and you could customize it and like half the fun was just like, it's like setting up your own web page, but it was on a system level, so it was a little more techie, and I don't know. It was fun. Yeah. It's not the same.
Gina, were you enthralled in the BBS world? And
I missed that era.
You missed the BBS.
The sort of the beginning of the internet. Yeah. Lots of my, just like you guys, lots of my friends have like a lot of nostalgia about it. My first sort of introduction to like the internet was actually the web, on computers at, like Mosaic, basically, when Mosaic first came out. But I miss BBSs. I get the nostalgia thing. The memory is way better than the actual experience of doing it, right now.
Yeah, because because then there is no internet. Like that, when I was thinking about that, I was like, of course the internet is all these other great things. Then that was the expansiveness the bulletin board and what it gave you access to.
FidoNet.
It's almost like, you can buy music everywhere now, but I have very fond memories of going into a record store and there being tons of them and searching the shelves for hours and this whole like the whole drama of going into a record store, period, just to, I know I'm going to walk out with two new albums and I'm going to feel good about it because I'm going to listen to them in the store and blah, blah, blah. And now, yes, I have access to all the music in the world. It's just not the same.
See, but the thing is, and the slight difference is that you can still go to a record store.
You can still go to a BBS.
I guess you could, yeah.
You can. They still exist. You can actually access BBSs on the internet, too.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
You know, there are ways to do it. It's
real,
just not the same.
Real records, I mean, real vinyl is making a comeback, right?
Vinyl sales are up. It's only growing sector of music going right now.
Right.
There was something. Although I'll tell you what, I don't miss. I don't miss those phone bills.
Right.
Whew,
right.
That was the long before the days of all access plan, long distance, whatever. You found a good BBS. I remember there was one in Berkeley. I used to call. I was in New York. I would be on there for hours, and it was brutal. But
Ron, speaking of statute of limitations, there were ways around it.
I don't want to talk about that.
Sixth grade me found the ways around that.
Wow. Seventh grade me caught up with you as well too. So.
Maybe we should reminisce about Gopher. Maybe we can elicit another email for next week. Gopher was
Windsock.
Great, guys. I miss Gopher.
Let's talk about Winsock.
Oh, Winsock.
PPP.
Yeah.
Slip. PPP or slip. Which way do you go?
And when the Secret Service knocked at my door in the seventh grade, I knew it was over. They did.
You see, I dodged a bullet. It happened to my buddy, but not me. He got all of his equipment confiscated. And,
it happened to me. A year later, I got a call from the local police, whatever, and they said, our warehouse is full. Can you come pick up your box?
Oh, so you got it back?
got it all back.
No way.
That's great. That's a great story.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's better than my buddy's story.
So I have it all stashed away.
Yeah.
I learned my lesson. I was done with that.
So what was funny, real quickly, my friend got busted because it wasn't because he was pirating. It's because someone had set up a BBS on a government machine that he didn't know about, and there was other stuff going on that machine.
Oh, interesting.
And so he got caught in this. The FBI picked him up. It was he got taken to the Troop F headquarters on Long Island and all stuff like that. It was because there was a bigger hacking thing going on,
right?
And he was just this dumb 13-year-old kid who just had a hard drive full of games, and so it was kind of funny.
Guilt by association.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty familiar.
And then I stopped.
Yeah, that's about all it takes, right there.
Yep.
All right, hey. Let's change the subject entirely. Let's thank our first sponsor of today's episode, and that would be SmartThings. Let me tell you about CNET's highest rated smart home systems. Pretty awesome stuff. We have a box full of the modules and everything here, the SmartThings hub that you're looking at right now. Ron's going to be Vanna for this ad read. SmartThings allows you to monitor, control, and automate your home from anywhere using your smartphone. So, you know, your lights, your locks, thermostats, home security, it's all connected through a single app. You don't need a different app for every product. You just, you know, you have a single app on your phone and you can control it. Intuitive controls that allow you to set rules on your smart home through their free iOS, Android, and Windows Phone apps. And with SmartThings, you can customize the way your smart devices talk to each other. So you can tap good night on your phone and the lights are going to turn off. The thermostats will adjust and your doors will lock. You can set your lamps to brighten in the morning at sunrise and when you want to wake up, help wake you up easily and slowly in the morning automatically. You can keep your home protected with SmartThings with home security, motion detection, water detection, and so much more. All these modules kind of work together in tandem in just super smart ways. That's why they call it SmartThings. You can set a camera to take a bunch of photos when unwanted motion or entry is detected, have your doors recognized when you're close and automatically unlock themselves so you don't have to do it, fumble for keys. There are so many ways to customize your SmartThings home. And if you haven't picked up by now, it's really just kind of open to your imagination. You can get really creative with it. SmartThings was actually named CES 2015 Editor's Choice Award, which is pretty awesome as well. So they're doing cool stuff. To get you started setting up your smart home right now, SmartThings is offering All About Android listeners 10% off any home security or solution kits and get free shipping in the U.S. when you go to smartthings.com/twit and use the offer code twit at checkout. We've heard of SmartThings a lot longer than they've been a sponsor on the network. They had a very successful Kickstarter a few years back. Gene, I know you ended up with a Kickstarter kit, right?
I did. Yeah, I backed the Kickstarter way back, and I have the kit. I love it. I love it, especially now that we're here in New York, because I just have more uses for some of the different pieces. But yeah, it's awesome. Sure. I get a push notification when I get mail, when the mailbox door opens.
Uh-huh.
But it's a really, really great system. The apps are super easy to use. I really dig it.
Right. Are you using that temperature sensor to detect how cold it is? Sorry.
You know, it's only been like shorts weather here for the past week.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Yeah.
Just kill me.
I can only imagine.
Just kill me.
Check it out for yourself, Smart Things, and find out how cold it is outside your home automatically from your phone with Smart Things. Just go to smartthings.com/twit. Use offer code TWIT at checkout. And we say thanks, Smart Things, for their support of All About Android. All right. So let's talk about some hardware. All right. Let me put my little inner device in. So, Gina, I realize you've kind of been stepping away from the news and stuff. You've been super involved with ThinkUp. Did you tune in at all or kind of, you know, hear about any of the stuff from Mobile World Congress, like from Samsung?
All that kind of stuff? I guess Samsung has a new phone or
something.
Yes,
this thing.
A couple of new devices.
Yeah.
They never do that. They never have new devices. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. They announced the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge. And apparently the pre-orders are looking pretty healthy. Samsung has said that it received record orders for the devices, 20 million pre-orders in total.
Wow.
15 million for the S6 and 5 million for the Edge. Is that, I mean, those are some crazy numbers.
That is crazy numbers, yeah.
That's worldwide, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
worldwide.
Yeah, but still. It's funny because we talked about the S5 being such a failure, mm-hmm. and not matching the success of the S4. And
how many air quotes can we get?
I know,
here?
Yeah, exactly. No, but we were wondering what the S6 was going to do, and it looks like it's on road to be more successful than the S5, at least at this early stage.
Yeah,
I wonder if there's some sort of Star Trek even number thing going on here at Samsung.
Mm.
You know,
starting now though, would you? Yeah, because I suppose the the S4 was a success.
Yeah,
would you say it qualifies as like good in your mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, success is good, I guess.
That's true.
Right?
I suppose if you're, yes.
I'm still using my S4.
Yeah.
Right. Looks great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Especially when you run your own operating system on
yeah.
Take
but,
off.
But I feel like a lot of the problem with the S5 was that it was too soon after the S4 came out. It didn't differentiate enough. It was just
kind of a type thing,
you know.
Part,
and
yeah.
The S6 kind of does that now. And I don't know how many of these pre-orders are for the Edge versus not the Edge, but even without the Edge version, it's a new phone.
15 million for the S6, 5 million for the Edge, supposedly.
Oh, that's way more than I thought would be for the Edge.
But Edge is the one that everybody's
cool.
looking at going, wow, that's different. Wow, that's cool looking. I wouldn't be surprised if the Edge kind of comes around and is a kind of it's going to be an expensive device. Don't get me wrong. So that might kind of slow it down a little bit. But I'm excited for Samsung's new offerings. And I can't say that I say that after a Galaxy announcement very often.
Right.
You know what I mean? But after this announcement, like I'm really excited to get my hands on the S6, more so the Edge. And just kind of see how it is because it really is different. And I don't know. A lot of people see some of the decisions that Samsung made with the device as being a little bit, you know, further removed from what made Samsung a success
battery,
to date.
The
SD card and everything. But I don't know. I guess I don't see that. You are an S4 user.
Mm-hmm.
How did the announcement strike you? Like, how do you feel about their new offerings?
Well, I'm more excited about the slim down TouchWiz environment, you know, not going so heavy. I mean, I literally ran into this. We had a guest staying with us who uses an S4, you know, stock operating system and everything, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, how do I do this? How do I do this? Like, it was so confusing to her. All the bells and whistles were just...
Right.
And she was... you know, she's a couple generations older than me, or not a couple generations, a couple decades older than me. So she's, you know, maybe having some problems from that angle too. But it was like, yeah, this is actually really confusing. I hadn't used TouchWiz in so long that to go back to it and help her with some of the problems she was having, I'm like, this is actually really, really hard to figure out. And it's not you. I'm having trouble too. So I'm actually more excited about the fact that they're going to be, or at least it appears that they're going to be slimming that down and making it a little bit more googly. More Google-like. I think that's going to be really good for users just to provide a more consistent look and feel across the spectrum. But
yeah,
the Edge doesn't really – it is the most new thing. I'll be curious to see if it actually makes a difference or if it's just a gimmick. You know, that's the way I'm coming at it.
It felt like a gimmick with the Note. To me, it felt like a gimmick.
Yeah.
But then it also just kind of didn't really compute in my mind the fact that it was an Edge on one side, and it just looked so not symmetrical, you know, between both sides, and that the Edge didn't necessarily operate in the way that you expected it to. Supposedly they've made changes there. I don't know if it necessarily makes the phone revolutionary from an operational standpoint, but it's certainly different, and it certainly differentiates the product from that perspective.
And maybe that's all it is. I mean, maybe they're just going for, hey, an extra $100, you know, let's get people to pay something. What can we offer of them? Hey, we can offer them this little cool curved screen.
But at that point, at this point with the devices, that's what you're looking for. I mean, look at televisions now. The big innovation from CES was curved TVs. Yeah. I mean, we've defined what a phone is. We've defined that it is this rectangular shape with and it's rather how can you iterate within that to differentiate yourself in the marketplace. And if it's the Edge display, I thought the initial release of the Edge was too soon. You know, the one side was just, it was awkward and it was weird. You didn't quite get it. As soon as you saw that phone with the edges on both sides, like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, it immediately changed.
That makes a difference. Now, Samsung isn't just making changes, with their phones, right, Gina? They have plans for wearables as well.
Yeah, a kind of uncharacteristic plan.
Yeah.
As for wearables, Samsung announced no new wearables at Mobile World Congress. It seems the company is slowing down its approach to wearables. Younghee Lee, Samsung's executive VP of mobile marketing, said, "We've been introducing more devices than anybody else. It's time for us to pause." So Samsung pausing, putting out devices. A little bit weird, perhaps related to another smartwatch announcement that happened recently. I mean, another smartwatch that's coming out next month. I mean, Samsung's put out a lot of wearables so far, and none of them have been a big hit. So it sounds like they're, you know, chilling out on that front.
Yeah. Interesting strategy for a company that's known for just throwing everything against the wall, all their ideas, and just seeing what sticks. And I don't know. You know, they needed to make changes, and it really seems like they're evaluating and making important changes that could end up in the long run being a pretty good, you know, pretty seismic shift for the company. So yeah. I'm curious to see the stuff.
Less is more.
There's truth to that.
Well, as we were talking about earlier about virtual reality making a big show at the GDC, one of the big things behind that was HTC wowing everyone with the Vive. And our friend Nicole Lee over at Engadget wrote a great post. Actually, I read the whole thing, and I was like, oh, wow, this is really well written. That basically the headline speaks for it all. HTC's Vive made me believe in VR. And she got a chance to use it and said that gives it a sense that it's different than the Gear Live and that it's a standalone platform that's plugged into a computer. It doesn't run with the HTC phone dropped into it like the goggles. It's a true competitor to Oculus Rift. And Nicole really seemed to be blown away by the experience. It did leave the question, though, of the difference between the Samsung Gear Live with the Galaxy Note inside of it allowing you to move around freely, whereas the HTC Vibe, you're tethered by cables to a box. I'd like to try that to see how much of a hindrance that is, but the design of the Vive seems to be done in a way to make the cables not get in the way, and I'm sure they're going to do everything they can to minimize it to just one cable. But
yeah, and again, I mean, it's an experience that isn't intended for you to be out on the sidewalk walking around necessarily. So yes, it looks funny. Yes, it's huge. Yes, it's tethered and everything. But it's also meant to be more or less a somewhat contained experience for a very specific thing, enjoyable kind of environmental, you know, immersion sort of experience. You guys talked about it on This Week in Google, I believe, last week. And am I remembering correctly that they are – is it this or is it Microsoft's VR offering that recommends having a room with a certain amount of space around you so that you don't run into things?
Oh, it does the Microsoft one.
Okay. All right. Okay. Halo. So that's not
the HoloLens.
That's
also, HoloLens. This is made to work in a 15 by 15 – environment. So you need to have about 15 feet around you of give to move around or there. So we're not talking, I mean, I don't think this is work in my apartment in San Francisco and by any means, you know, I think I've got maybe about 6 feet in either direction. So, you definitely need to have the room for this, but as well as HoloLens, you know, so. Yeah.
But what an interesting way for HTC to pivot a little bit and kind of embark on a new into a new category.
Well, I mean, it's amazing. And to quote Nicole from the conclusion of her article, she says, "I walked away from the demo a complete believer, not just in VR, but also in HTC and Valve. I can't wait to see what's next."
Yeah.
And that the enthusiasm at that really came across in the article. And I really want to know the behind the scenes story, whether this came out of HTC or came out of Valve or how they got together and decided to do this. I think that's fascinating.
So, we don't really know any price yet. Somebody in the chat room was asking about price. I don't believe that we have any estimates even on that. But yeah, you know, Nicole Lee was not the only one. Vlad Savov of The Verge. I just saw article after article of all of these, you know, journalists who got access to it. And I feel like any other VR system, you know, review has been kind of like, yeah, it's neat. It's blah, 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 dot, dot, dot. But these have all been like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and maybe that's why cool Valve, stuff. I mean, maybe Valve was, because they had their own, we mentioned this also, I keep going back to this, I can Google, apologize for that if you've already seen it, but, you know, we talked about that a little bit as well in that, you know, Valve has been doing research in this field for a long time, some of it on their own turf, obviously. But, you know, maybe this is just one of those things where they said, look, this is better than anything we've done, and we're going to put our, you know, put our money where our mouth is here and partner on this product with you. I mean, certainly it makes a lot of sense. And I mentioned that this is one of the things that really excites me about this, too, is the Valve partnership.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'd love to play Portal with something really immersive like this on. I think that would be really, really fun. Or, or you know, Half-Life 3, maybe. I don't know. Start some rumors.
Someday.
We'll Jason, your point that this is not about what it looks like, or you know that you're not going to be out in the street using this, or you know that this is about the experience that you have. I just think that's such a major, you know, I'm not a gamer, but I look at this thing and I just can't get over this idea of like I'm never going to strap something like that to my face, which maybe is too like very vain and superficial, but like purely from a marketing, I'm trying to imagine the commercial like where somebody puts this thing in their face. I mean, even in the early days of like the Kinect, I remember the commercial seeming like a little bit like, wait, what's going on? These people look crazy in their living room, right? So I still wonder about sort of this, you know, gaining traction with a regular person, or for a regular person kind of getting their head around what the getting what this is, you know, without actually experiencing it. It seems like this is just a specialty experience thing where you're going to go to some sort of, you know, futuristic arcade and they're going to put you in a 15 by 15 room. Who has a 15 by 15 room? I mean, I live in New York City, so nobody.
Well, I mean, probably a lot of people not in small condensed cities like us. I mean, that's the thing. And I think one byproduct is we're going to get a lot of YouTube videos of people taking videos of other people playing. It's because there's going to be a lot of pointing and laughing at that. But it really only takes one killer, you know, one version of Halo or whatever the game is the kids play, Destiny or whatever the Titanfall or whatever it is, the one game to really capture that imagination. I mean, I would have never played a first-person shooter before Doom or Quake. Mm-hmm. And it was when Quake came out and you're like, whoa, and you're all over this. You know, like give me a Star Wars version of this and where you're in it, then like Gina, I don't like things on my face and on my head. It just takes that one thing to get a mass amount of gamers to get into it. But then beyond that, you've got other applications like we've talked about with real estate and with, you know, travel and things like that, which I think could be pretty interesting, as well as I'm really interested to see what comes of it from a cinematic or storytelling standpoint, where there can be kind of like VR immersive worlds that you step in and you watch this story unfold in front of you. That could be pretty cool.
And what about when they add smell? What about when the goggles go around your nose?
Smell-o-vision.
And you get smell-o-vision. It's the HTC Vive.
It becomes a gas mask VR.
Yeah, it's the next. It's even more immersive.
Do you kind of segueing into the next thing here?
Yeah.
Do you envision a day when NVIDIA comes out with its own VR?
Well, possibly. They're certainly heading in that direction.
Yeah,
especially with their announcement that they made around what they're calling the NVIDIA Shield. Not to be confused with the existing NVIDIA Shield or the NVIDIA Shield tablet.
Yeah,
right. But this is the set-top box. They're calling it the Shield, which I think is like I don't understand. You already have two things called the Shield. Why are you calling this the Shield? Maybe that'll change by the time it comes out. Yeah. But this is a set top box to plug into your TV. What's cool about this is it actually support for me anyway, is it actually supports 4K streaming. So if you have a 4K TV, you plug this thing in, you can actually use it to stream 4K content onto your TV, which which is really, really cool, I think. It's one of the first devices to do that, especially at this price point. It's they say it's going to cost $200. So that's really great. Not only do you get that, but you also get a lot of the really cool features that they put on the Shield tablet, like the streaming gaming thing where you can stream games from your PC to your device. You can also stream games, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I think that I think what this says is that there is a market there. I mean, we've seen lots and lots of set-top boxes come out. This is just one addition to that. I'm really frustrated. I know I was trying to plug the Nexus Player last time I was on, I think, but now I'm just so frustrated with that. I'm ready to throw it out the window.
I officially unplugged it entirely. I moved it into another room only because it's just not as... Sad. It's not as easy to use as the Chromecast for my family. I can deal with it.
Yeah.
It's my family that needs to be able to deal with it. And they run into constant issues with the Android TV. And I'm like, okay, it's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't keep the Wi-Fi connected. It keeps just hanging, and I have to go manually, like, disconnect the Wi-Fi and connect it back up. Because luckily, I have two access points, because it's really hard to forget the network and put the network back in and put your password back in. It's just a real pain. But this looks like, I mean, with NVIDIA's reputation and how happy at least I am with the Shield tablet, this device looks really, really good in terms of an external set-top box that combines all the goodness of Android with all of the gaming prowess that NVIDIA is known for.
Mm-hmm. I'm really curious what NVIDIA's – what their end game is with the Shield line now, is because you've got now three devices. Like, you know, you've got a whole – this kind of platform of Shield-branded things.
Right.
Which I don't really know why they're doing, other than just like, hey, this is really cool, let's do it. You know, like, which I like. I like that idea. I mean, the idea of having a viable Android TV device on the market that's not the Nexus Player is something that is very attractive to me, and I'm seriously considering this device for that.
I think it actually makes sense. I mean, they also have the Shield controller, which you can get that I have. I don't have it with me, but I have it. I got it for the tablet, and it's nice to see them taking advantage of their processor technology in this way, right? Yeah. So I've got the K1 chip in my tablet. This is going to have the X1 chip. Which is partly what allows it to do like the 4K stuff, because it's just such a powerful graphics chip. And so I think it makes a lot of sense. It's like, why didn't they do this before? Why didn't they, you know, they were kind of going after the science, and I'm sure they still are going after kind of the science side of things by, you know, being able to set up a grid of their video processors to do science, you know, computational work and things like that. Yeah. That's all well and good, but you know, there's another application of this, obviously, which is games and things that really need that high-end chipset to drive them. And this is a perfect example of that. So I think it's really cool that they're doing that. Not only that, but they also announced something else, which is really cool, which is that it's going to be able to be compatible with the NVIDIA Grid streaming game service, which they made available, luckily, to Shield tablet owners like me. So this is basically a streaming gaming service. Right now they have a lot of kind of older games, but they're still really fun. And they run actually very impressively on the Shield tablet. And this will be available on the Shield TV console as well.
And it's pay one price, all the games.
Yeah, it's a like subscription Netflix service. Yeah. It's a subscription service. They may have like, you know, buy one services as well. You know, one-off type things as well. But it's actually a really cool service. I mean, I can show it real quick if you want to see. Do we have time to show it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's show it. So it actually, one of the nicer things that they did right away actually was they put in a networking evaluation component to this. So when you launch a game, it actually goes in and evaluates your network to say, you know, your Wi-Fi is too slow, or the connection between you and our servers is too slow, something like that. So if I go in and launch this, I don't know if it'll actually, this is just going to launch the game, but there actually is a little evaluation thing. It goes out and it says, okay, your tablet is running fine. And then it goes in and it checks, okay, what's the connection between your tablet and the Wi-Fi? What's your connection between the Wi-Fi and the internet? And then what's the connection between the internet and our gaming services in the background? So it does all of that. And then it comes back and tells you, hey, your Wi-Fi is too slow, or hey, our servers are too slow, or your thing is fine, but the internet is too slow for you to run this right now. So that is kind of cool in and of itself. We'll see if this pops up. You know, this was working in pre-show.
Of course.
It was.
There it is. Now it's burning.
So this is streaming the game.
This is actually streaming. I don't have anything
from
loaded.
NVIDIA's own
from NVIDIA's
library.
From
basically.
NVIDIA's streaming gaming servers.
That's crazy.
And I don't have anything loaded on my tablet. I didn't have to install an app. I didn't have to.
And they've got, and it's not just, you know, no-name games. I mean, they have Batman Arkham Asylum, whatever. They got the Lego games.
Yeah, they've got some pretty good games. I mean, they're not brand spanking new games.
Sure, but they're
fun. They're fun to play. This one's really fun. Let's see if I can skip past the title. There we go. So if I just start the game here, you can see it does emulate a mouse at least. So let's see.
Cool.
Yeah, it's so much better with the controller. But this is another thing I love. Game developers who actually use like semi-real code in their games when they're trying to show that something's going on. This guy's doing a PS grep service record. I mean, that's pretty cool that they're actually using real Linux commands to do this, I think, anyway.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah.
Instead of a progress bar. Right. It's like, here's what's actually happening.
I mean, this is all streaming. You can see how smooth it is. Yeah. And I don't even actually, it was complaining earlier about the Wi-Fi network here in the brick house. So the music is great. There's no glitches.
That's smooth. Yeah.
It's smooth.
There's a little bit of glitch there. Right there. A little glitch.
As soon as we said it was smooth, that's when it glitched.
Yeah. Let's see if I can skip this too and get to the real game. I don't know if it'll let me. Nah, it's not going to let me. That's good enough for this demo.
But still, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Pay one price, get all those games. It's hard to, you know, like.
I was really impressed. Yeah. I was really impressed. I thought this was going to be, like, really glitchy. It's not going to be, you know, because you need really fast response times for gaming, you know. Even to go from a wireless mouse to, you know, people preferred wired mouses because there's just that, just a little bit of latency that you gain from a wired mouse versus a wireless mouse. And, so, I mean, even that aspect is pretty cool. So,
and on your connectivity at home, is it fast enough to avoid kind of the slowdowns that we're seeing here?
Oh, yeah.
I have to imagine part of that is just attributed to our crazy, wireless environment in the Twitch studio.
Yeah, absolutely. So here we can. I mean, you can see how good the response time is. I mean, it's just as good as if I was playing with the game controller. Oh, look, I said
until
that.
Until then. So the trick is not to talk about the performance of the game while you're playing it.
But look, it tells you, it told me poor network connectivity. It told me the reason why.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you can actually go out and troubleshoot. When you see that, you can go out and troubleshoot your network again and see where the problem is so you can go fix it. So anyway, really cool stuff. I think this is really going to, this is a feature that will sell devices, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that.
If it works well.
If it works, right. If it works, this will actually sell devices as opposed to just giving them, I don't know, some of the stuff like that Samsung throws into their thing where they're like, oh, you can touch it with gloves, you know.
Right.
I don't know that that's such a cool feature, but I think that, you know, being able to run high quality games like this for a very low price is something that's pretty cool. I don't have to go out to the store, you know, to buy a game. I can just load it and run it.
Yeah, and it positions this set-top box as less of a set-top box and more as a gaming platform.
I mean, you can. That's a big part of what NVIDIA Shield is all about.
Yeah, totally.
Is being an Android-based gaming platform
with
a little bit extra because of the NVIDIA, you know, stuff happening underneath.
Yeah.
You get higher power, you know, better looking, you know, all that kind of stuff. Games.
Yeah.
Yep.
And everyone else that's not running an NVIDIA Shield is like, oh, but I want to play Portal. There you go. All right. Hey, Brian, what do you say we dive into hardware?
That's so great. And the Android dude's wearing a watch. I didn't see that last time. I was freaking out over the letters changing.
Yeah,
I missed that the guy's wearing the watch.
It just gets deeper and deeper every time we see it.
It's good. There it is.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. It's got a Moto 360.
Nice.
It has good taste. Good taste.
I think it's the Huawei watch.
Yeah.
It did look like the Huawei watch.
Yeah.
All right. Three bits of wear news here. First, the Moto 360 is now part of Moto Maker. So basically, you can tailor yourself a watch that's as unique as you are.
And with a choice of 11 watch faces, which I thought was funny because they're virtual watch faces. You can have unlimited watch faces.
Dark finish.
Right? Like,
oh, ooh, I like what you're doing there, cool. Brian. This is as unique as you.
There you go. Your multiple
so it's like
watch
Moto
faces.
Maker. You know, Moto Maker, when you get a phone, it's pick your desktop image.
Exactly, yeah.
You have access to them all. It's just, what is the one that's there when you first get it?
Right, exactly.
Neat thing there. Two, the next version of Lollipop for Wear, according to sources, is going to have Wi-Fi support. Now, most Wear watches actually do support Wi-Fi. Currently, they do not, you know, they do not gain access to that because Wear, the platform, doesn't allow for it. So that'll be good. I really hope this works in a way, in the way that the Apple Watch does for this one scenario. I put my phone into a charger at my house, and then I'm in the kitchen doing dishes, yep. but I'm too far away from my phone, therefore I don't get any of my notifications on the watch that I'm wearing. I want it to connect to the Wi-Fi and share that across the Wi-Fi network. And I don't know if that's what this means, if Wi-Fi support means that.
I don't think
but
it does.
I really hope so.
I think you're it gets you a step closer. I think when I was reading about it earlier, it sounds like you'll get Google Now notifications and you'll get other notifications that are available to you via Wi-Fi, but not necessarily a push bullet style integration between your phone and the watch, although maybe that could be right after it by the people from Bush Bullet. Maybe, who knows?
That's true.
Know? Bush Bullet for what? Though, come on, we had like whole Google I/O presentations about, you know, mirror notifications. They've got to launch with that, right? It's got to be that.
I hope so.
I don't know. We'll see.
Just tell me and my watch it's going to be that.
Come on, you're making Gina feel bad, Google. Do something
Don't make Gina feel bad. That's
Google
not nice.
Now notifications of Justin Bieber. No, I need my text messages and stuff.
I'm going to get all of the Star Wars Episode 7 news they can fit on this watch face.
When your phone is docked and in the other room, they're like, exactly. You need to know about
this,
Ron.
You need to know there's a new photo from the set, okay?
Also supposedly included gesture control. So, for instance, you can flick your wrist to scan through notifications, something I don't know I necessarily want. Yeah. Maybe Google will surprise me as far as how it's implemented. And easier access to installed apps. That's a wide open one. But I think Wear can always gain from easier access to installed apps because that always just seems to be more trouble than maybe not that it's worth, but not as easy as it could be.
If you had gesture control, could that be like a gaming interface too?
Oh yeah, maybe.
Because that would be kind of cool. Use the gesture as a gaming. Yeah.
Like one of those you know, those boxes with the hole with the ball bearing.
Right, right.
You try not to get it in the hole. You could do that game. Yeah, yeah.
You can do that now, right? I guess you could if someone developed the app. But I mean, it'd be cool if you could just like, you know, kind of hover over it or do some sort of like use it as a trackball for Centipede. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Anyway.
You got Centipede on your Android.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like,
that would be pretty sweet.
Like Crystal Castles,
right?
Yes.
There we go.
But you can't see what you're doing because you're
no, you're watching on Android TV.
Oh right, that would be cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the time.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
The Moto X had the flip to take a picture on it, right?
What?
Didn't the Moto X, the phone, used to have the
yeah? You could go like this, and it would go to camera mode.
So I would like that. I mean, well. I don't have a camera on my watch, but yeah, I can see, you know, doing this in order to my watch is waking up, but I don't know how much, what else.
I'm going
to
make a really old person dated reference. It's going to be like the Honeymooners at Norton when he's going to sign a contract to shoot in his cuffs. You see that? You go like that, right? And then sign, you know. Wow, did I dated even Jason on that one, didn't I?
I just don't remember seeing that on the Honeymooners.
Yeah, no, when Norton would have to sign a contract, they call it shooting the cuffs, where he's like trying, you know, clearing out, you know, this whole big thing, and then Ralph would get mad.
Right, right. Oh, because he's getting ready to sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Ralph wants him to sign. Yeah. He's like, he's doing this, you get ready. Yeah,
I'm not crazy, okay? I watched the Honeymooners.
That's a great show, actually.
Yeah. It was. Anyway. All right.
No, actually, we don't need to play it. There's a new Wear ad.
Oh, yeah, I want to see the new Wear ad.
You want to
watch
it?
I'll see it. Yeah,
I'll see the ad.
Timed this ad with yesterday's Apple announcement.
Here's Justin Bieber. Hi, hi, hi. Well, everyone is
mine, so you could call me Multiply. Did they really time it with the ad?
Well, it was released yesterday, so you have to imagine that was on purpose.
Yeah.
Be together, not the same. There you go. And how hip.
Yeah,
what a totally tubular soundtrack. What a radical dance move. You dig, Rod?
I dig.
You dig? Okay.
I'll tell you what I also dig. I also dig our sponsors of this episode, Gazelle. We want to thank Gazelle for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And you know Gazelle, the great hardware trade-in service where you can get cash for your used devices. Well, now Gazelle's got a brand new feature that you can now buy certified pre-owned devices from Gazelle, whether they're Samsung Galaxy phones or tablets or iPhones or anything like that. If you've lost or broken your phone, a certified pre-owned device is a great way to buy a low-cost replacement device. Gazelle still offers the same great deals on trade-ins for your old devices. Visit gazelle.com to see what devices are available in the certified pre-owned condition. The benefits of buying a certified pre-owned device from Gazelle are limitless. Devices are available in two conditions, certified like new and certified good. Certified good devices show some gentle signs of wear, but offer consumers who want to save a little extra money a great device at a great price. All devices have been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection to ensure they're fully functional, and certified pre-owned devices are backed by a 30-day risk-free return policy. So give it a try, get the device, see if you like it. If you don't, return it back within the 30 days, no harm, no foul.
Nice.
Benefits of trading in your devices to Gazelle are also limitless. You get paid in cash, payment is fast, you get it within a few days of your item being received by Gazelle, it's risk-free. Gazelle will also wipe your data for free. They're completely trustworthy. They've paid over $175 million to over 1 million customers, and that's impressive. They make it so easy with free shipping. Most items qualify for a free box. They got fast processing, no listing hassles, and Gazelle really makes it a great option for you to trade in your device, get some cash for it, or get a certified pre-owned device to replace that device that you might have dropped on the sidewalk.
Oh, that happens. Take it from me.
So find out what your Android device is worth. Take a minute and go to gazelle.com. It's worth the time to check it out. And we thank them for supporting All About Android.
Excellent. Love Gazelle.
That option, if you break your phone and drop it and you want to have the same phone, but you might not be able to afford the $600 uh-huh. or whatever, that certified pre-owned idea is genius. That's
yeah,
great.
So, it really is.
Yeah.
Awesome. Check it out, gazelle.com. All right. Let's jump into apps.
All right, so the app section is becoming more about like this week in Google Apps. It seems like there have just been a lot of updates every week. There's so many Google apps.
We have one in there that's not Google.
We do.
So that's good.
But first up is Drive. A new update to Google Drive on Android is laying the groundwork for something that everyone has wanted for some time: photo integration inside Drive and decoupling photos from Google Plus. I know this is definitely something that I've run into that I've wanted to see. The two are already considered separate products, and now it's only a matter of time before that functionality is unleashed inside Drive. Drive will likely be responsible for the automatic backup of photos as is done inside the G Plus app at the moment. Also expected soon, thanks to a number of new strings in the code, is Chromecast support for Google Drive. This all came from the APK teardown by our friends at Android Police, and I got to tell you, when I realized that the photos weren't being backed up to Drive at the same time as Google Plus, I was like, what, really?
I know.
And then Chromecast support is just natural. Everything should have Chromecast support. I think you just put Chromecast support in everything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter what it does. Just Chromecast it. So I'm glad to see these updates coming up there. But they're not out yet. They're just there are hooks in the code in the APK, but it can show that it's coming. So
yeah, it'll be nice once you get the photos kind of integrated into Drive and in that storage area.
Because that's the thing is that like
obscure right now
for whatever. I mean, like I'm using Google Plus and I'm trying to be better about it. I'm trying to be active about it. But when I think about it, like, oh, I want to show my friend a photo, my first instinct is to go to Drive because Drive is like my Dropbox. It's like my storage place. And I don't think of Google Plus in that way. You know, although I guess that's the whole they wanted to make that their go-to place so people would use Google Plus.
But yeah.
So it's nice to see that finally coming. So,
well, and plus they have all that integration, like with Gmail and all that stuff. There's better integration into Drive than there is Google Plus. So
yeah,
yeah. I mean, I've had that problem trying to attach a photo to an email, but it's not on Drive. It's only in Google Plus.
Right.
Yeah. So I definitely had that issue. It is frustrating.
You should at least have the option to choose where you want it, and more than likely put it in both, or put it in Drive, or have the reference be to, you know. So
yeah, and it does make more sense. I mean, my son doesn't use Google Plus.
Right.
The only reason he has it on his phone is so he can back up his photos.
Right.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
There's the use case.
So, Aaron,
I'm next.
Look at a lot of PDFs.
I love PDFs.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the segue.
That's an awful segue.
Sorry,
that was just awful. So this is kind of interesting, though, given the history of doc viewers, document viewers, and things like that on Nexus or on Android. Google's has released a standalone PDF viewer that's separate from Drive, because you can currently view PDFs in Drive, but this is actually a separate PDF viewer, and it looks like this is aimed at people that want to use Android in the work environment, but they don't necessarily want to have Drive, or aren't allowed to have Drive on their phones. So it's just a standalone PDF reader. It's pretty cool, but it's basically the same one that's in Drive. It's just decoupled. So, you know, you can just, if you just want to quick and dirty Google PDF viewer. You can go out and download it. It's available right now. What I find interesting, though, about this is, I don't know if you guys remember, I mean, QuickOffice, Google, mm-hmm. I guess they OEM'd it. I mean, they did rebrand it. Yep. QuickOffice, I think it was for Galaxy Nexus, so that they could have document viewer capabilities. Yep. This was before Drive was available with native apps on the phone.
That was the Q icon with the different colors.
Yeah. And they rebranded it. And then, you know, Google Drive came out. So they it started, you know, recommending people install that. Some people are still using QuickOffice. And now they have this other standalone app, which so it's just really interesting, the evolution of these viewers that people want to have on their devices. In fact, if you look at my, it's kind of funny because I looked at my tablet. I installed this app and then I looked at my tablet. Let's see if I can open up a PDF here. Here we go. So this is, there we go. So I've got some PDFs in here, and I just wanted to try this out. So I'd open it up because I realized I hadn't set the default yet. So now I have...
Yeah, there's the QuickOffice icon.
So I have QuickOffice. I have Adobe Reader, right? That makes sense. And then I have the Drive PDF, and here's the new one, the Google PDF viewer. So I've got a, you know, I've got a myriad of choices. Basically, the middle two are the same. And I think in the story from Android Police, it says that it won't even appear in the app drawer as a dedicated app, but it does appear when you click on a PDF and you haven't set the default yet. Just kind of
that makes sense.
Kind of interesting. I've got the whole history of viewers
right there, yeah,
listed on my phone, on my tablet. I didn't even realize it till I went to try this out.
I like how the new Google PDF app has got the most unceremonious icon you've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's literally just a red piece of paper that says PDF.
Right.
It's
a red piece of paper with a little document. Fold. Yeah. That's it.
Gets to the point. Tells you what you can do with it.
Interesting.
All right. So non-Google news, Gina.
Very exciting.
Because we got to do this every once in a while in this app section.
Yeah, this is a good one. Pocket Casts, my favorite podcast management app. Love this app. Can't say enough good things about this app. We've talked about it a million times before on the show. Their material design version 0.5, or I think it's actually 5.0, launched today. And it's gorgeous. I actually just grabbed it from the Play Store. It looks really, really nice. Material redesign. Really some nice features where you can kind of drag and drop episodes onto the player. It's got a dark theme and a light theme. Some really nice animations. You can tell that they didn't just slap material onto what they had before. They really kind of thought about it. So get that update.
Yeah, I've got it here. I've got it on my phone if Brian wants to show us. We could see it live.
There you go. There it is live.
Yeah, there it is. And so you can see on my podcast. But yeah, so now you see it's inheriting the background color like they
got the animation.
Look at all that. That's pretty fancy, right? Yeah.
Oh, what's that show? iFanboy.
Oh, yeah,
I've heard of that one.
That stinks. but they did a good job with it. I mean, it's definitely got the material. You got the little hamburger menu there, and you know, going. It's got the whole stuff like that. So it's everything that you know and love about Pocket Casts, but with that material design. But what I loved the most was after I installed it, I got a wonderful notification on my phone. I mean, on my watch. And sure enough, they've also have Android Wear support with this version.
Oh, cool.
So
very nice.
Yeah. So I haven't played with it yet, so I don't know what it does yet. But so there you go.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Good work, Pocket Cast. They actually teased that when Russell was on this episode.
Yeah, I remember.
Yep.
And like a couple of days later in the Android subreddit, there were people that were like, oh, Pocket Cast was on All About Android. And they showed off material design. It turns out a lot of people have been waiting for a long time for the material design update for Pocket Cast. So here it is, update. It's not like a Google rollout. You can actually get it right now. You're not going to wait like 2 weeks before it finally hits your phone. So there you go. Let's take an email here from Sean in Madison, Wisconsin. Says, excuse me. I've been using a third-party text messaging app. Won't mention the name. Don't want to promote them for a while now. However, due to recent updates to the app, they've changed some of the things that I loved about the app. And now I hate it, which I changed from another app that made changes that I hated. I hate when a simple app changes and the developer adds unnecessary things. Well, developers got to iterate and all that kind of stuff. So I suppose unnecessary is subjective. Anyways, long story long, I have used Hangouts in the past and want to use it again. However, I'm trying to figure out how to shut off notifications for certain contacts. Example, I have Twitter send my tweets from certain people to follow. As texts come in, I get the notifications, which then I go into the settings and turn off. But when I delete the thread, I think maybe he meant Hangouts, not Twitter. When I delete the thread, the next text that comes in has the notifications back on again, which some days really sucks because my phone is constantly buzzing. Let's see here. The biggest one I'm wanting to stop the notifications for, I don't want to keep the thread going with red messages. I really don't want to save my text messages. So he wants to delete the thread but have the settings stick.
So remember not to do a notification. So if you text me, never notify me.
Never. Yeah, yeah. Let's say never. Yes.
Or never. I didn't mean that personally.
I think what he's trying to do is, yeah, I don't want my phone to buzz when this, yep, person texts me.
Right.
I just want it to show up in my notifications, yep, pane, maybe, yep, something like that. So there is a way to do this. What I'm trying to understand is, when you say delete, are you actually deleting or are you archiving it? Because that's the difference here. Go to Hangouts, SMS with person, go to menu, people and options, and change that option to taste. In there you can, you know, select no ringer so that there is no noise when it comes through, or don't vibrate or whatever. When you're done with your thread with that person, don't delete it. If you can delete it in Hangouts, I think you can.
You can.
Archive it, because that setting will stay in that archived thread, but it'll move out of your list. Then when they message you again, that thread will come back, but it'll retain those settings.
That's
and
the
I tested
trick.
This earlier today and it worked. So that's the workaround. So you asked, you received.
Look at that. Learning things on All About Android. Archive it.
Customer service.
Archive it.
Doesn't happen very often, but there you go. We'll teach you something.
Archive it.
All right, before we get into the arena, let's thank our final sponsor of today's episode, and that is Prosper. You know, face it, there aren't many good ways to borrow money these days when you need it, especially friends, family, credit card companies, traditional bank loans. Ugh, who wants that? But now with a low fixed rate loan with Prosper.com, there is a better way. Borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days and use the money for just about anything you desire. You know, you can pay off your high rate credit cards, fix up the house, spruce up the house, put it into your business. You know, use your imagination. I'm sure you can come up with a way to spend $35,000. Come on. I don't need to give you a bunch of things to do with it. Prosper's online marketplace connects people who need money with those who want to invest in you. It's what it's all about. It's peer-to-peer. So they are offering their money to invest in you. Don't rack up more debt on your credit cards. Just pay them off with Prosper. To check your low rate instantly without affecting your good credit, go to prosper.com/twit. Now and for a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Visa gift card with your low interest loan. You can get up to $35,000 in your account in as few as 5 days, and you'll get a $50 Visa gift card as well. Go to prosper.com/twit for this special offer just for Twit listeners. We thank Prosper for their support, continued support of All About Android. All right. Now I'm just trying to think of things that I could spend $35,000 on.
Oh,
I
know.
I need to stop.
We're going
to stop.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to start a BBS.
Hey, yes, it's a good investment.
Yes,
I think
so too.
Sound investment.
I've been holding off this whole time. Doggone it. I'm going to start one today.
Are they still
with a loan?
Are they still developing Wildcat? Is that still?
I've got a 500K hard drive.
For $35,000, I bet you could probably buy the license to the Z modem protocol. And
possibly so. All right, what do you say? Let's get into the arena with some drama. I don't understand why this arena is so full of drama.
Why do we have a drama bumper?
I don't know.
What happened to my profile?
I don't know.
What has Zach done?
I thought that was new. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
That was really weird. I don't even know where that came
did
from.
Did things change?
Why do we have that drama one?
Well, we've had that.
Have we had that?
Yeah, we've done that.
When did we use that before?
Time to time when there's like a big drama story in the news.
Like all now? Right.
We don't use it very often.
We're going to redo that.
Let's go into the arena.
Enter.
Ah, that looks
familiar. Only one lives. Android Arena.
I know why you played that, Brian. It's because I lost last week.
I heard there was a lot of drama last week.
There was a lot of drama last week.
I mean, it's yes, I feel awful. My app lost. Wayfair did not fare so well.
Making a comeback.
Although, Ron.
It was neck and neck.
Look at you.
It was neck and neck with Cat Simulator, but I was glad to see that the All About Androidites came to their senses and voted for Tab, the simple bill splitter, over Mateo's Cat Simulator, which is, let's be honest, a little inferior to the Goat Simulator.
Didn't quite capture it in the same way.
I like that he had a theme and he was going for it. I can respect that. That's good. But the physics of Cat Simulator weren't as exciting as the Goat Simulator.
It wasn't as easy to play, maybe. Yeah. Maybe you just didn't know how to play it, Ron.
Yeah, maybe. That's probably it. But Mateo specifically would be very excited because team, as it's been dubbed now, Team G&G...
Guest and Gina
has got their namesake in the house. So Gina, there's no pressure there on you this week. And as you return to the arena,
or maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit Team G&G. But
a little pressure.
Well, it's got to be either me or Gina.
Yeah,
I'm technically the guest.
You got 50% chance of winning this week. That's right. I was just happy to get more than to get a win under my to have two wins now in this season so far.
All right, but, so that means Ron, you are going last. I go first. Yep. Okay. All right. So my app is called Snappy. Now, before I get into this, okay, so Snappy is kind of dubbed a tool for selfies, which makes me feel just a little wrong for bringing it into the arena. I'm sorry to bring a selfie tool into the arena. But here's what kind of makes this cool. I see it less as a tool for selfies, although I suppose it kind of is, and more a tool for taking a better way to take group shots using your phone when you don't have it in your hand. So like right now I could use a camera app and set a timer and set it down and then hit the button and run back and 10 seconds later it takes it and whatever. Maybe I'm in place, maybe I'm not, however that goes. What this does instead is it recognizes you in the image. So let's see if I can do this and still show it on the screen. Okay, so it looks for your hand open. Closed. It recognizes it. And then when I go like this, I've told it, okay, go ahead and do the count.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So hand up.
Hands up. Baby, hands up.
Let's see here. Okay. Oh, it doesn't see me in the screen with it. It's not going to do it. It's just my hand. So let me try and illustrate this in a different way. You can go
it's
to
like
the line.
It's like the clapper, but a fister.
Yeah, kind of.
Sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
The fister. You know, it's not a clapper. It's a fister.
Jason's leaving.
Okay, let's leave it there. Let's see if I can do this.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know if it's going to be wide enough.
It's not wide enough to get... Oh, maybe it is.
Maybe. Okay.
That's good enough.
You're going to have to close your laptop lid there for a second. I'll close mine, and then I'll do it. I'll go, huh? Huh? Ah. All right, so that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Now, I realize nobody saw that, but you saw it initially. You saw it initially, so you kind of know what it did. And I'll show you the fruits of our labor here.
Not in Drive, though.
Not in Drive. Not yet.
Photos. There it is.
There we go. Yeah. Triggered by my hand open, my hand in a fist, and then opened again.
That's pretty cool.
So it's like it detects your hand open. Then you do the fist. It knows that you're serious. And then when you let go of that, that's when it starts to do the countdown. Hmm. And you do have controls for, you know, like how long on the countdown. You can change the settings so that it's, you know, 2, 5, 10 seconds. Does it focus right before it takes? You know, a few other options. But
it's the same interface as Tab.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The camera is on.
You're right.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was a reflection.
Yeah, that's the camera.
That's the camera.
Oh, no. Is it the reflection? It's the forward-facing camera because it's a selfie. Yeah.
Right.
There it is. All right, yeah. So anyways, there you go. It's called Snappy, S-N-A-P-I. And yeah, Gina, I didn't get you in on that selfie, but there's not enough room on this table to do the whole dang
thing. No, that's okay. That's a good app right there.
That's a good one.
So I think the downside is it's targeted for, quote, selfie. The good thing is it's actually useful for non-selfies.
I mean, from a business sense, you understand why they're marketing that. But it's a cool way to remote trigger a phone.
It's a remote trigger. So.
Very cool.
There you go. Snappy. And it's free. All right. Aaron,
Am I next? Okay. So my app this week is called Video Live Wallpaper. This is a free app. I don't know if you guys noticed before the wallpaper that I have on my.
I noticed that, and I was going to ask about it.
Really cool.
It was freaking me out. I was like,
yeah, it was kind of freaking me out too.
I feel like we're moving.
It's this way. There we go. Get rid of that. So yeah, it's pretty cool, huh? So let me just show you my nice little wallpaper. But this isn't a live wallpaper. This is actually a video that I downloaded from YouTube and made my wallpaper on my tablet. So this is a really cool app. Basically, that's all it does is you go in here, you select the video that you want to have running as your wallpaper.
Is it a link to the video?
Well, you have to have the video on your device somewhere. So I can go and select. I've got a few videos here. Let me go back one. Videos. Okay, so there's a few videos. There's this one that I took this afternoon in my backyard. There's this one of James when he was a baby, my son, my youngest son. Let's do that one. That's a fun one.
Goal.
So we'll go ahead and select that one. And then you just go ahead and set it up as your live wallpaper. But I think since I already have it running, I can go back here and just double tap. There we go. There he is.
And
it actually plays the audio. That's a setting. You can either, you know, have it play the audio or not. But you can see it's just my wallpaper. It's not, you know.
Wow. Okay. The obvious question is how does this hit your
battery?
Yeah.
So far it hasn't been bad. I haven't really noticed. I mean, obviously if you do a lot of, if you spend a lot of time just on your desktop, then that's going to impact you, right?
Yeah, but
who
often,
does, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're always going to an app, right?
Yeah,
so
you're always using the desktop to
Chrome,
get somewhere.
Or you're going to launch, you know, whatever. You're going to launch your Gmail or something like that. So you're not really, and when you do that, of course, it stops playing. Right. So you're not really going to notice it. But it's kind of cool. It has options for looping. It has options for turning the audio on or off. And it'll actually make this your lock screen wallpaper too. So if I turn that off and turn it back on, you can see it's playing there in the background. Just on my lock screen there.
It's got a Harry Potter feel. You know, like the Harry Potter portraits would be alive,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Oh, that's cool. So now if you go portrait,
it will change. Watch what happens.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
It's a little squished, but it still does it automatically. I thought for sure that it would that the app would hang when I did that the first time. I'm like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But actually, they've done a really good job making this work. And they have tried to optimize the battery as much as possible so that
you're not using
it. But you know, there's only so much you can do. When this is playing in the background, it's changing pixels. And when your display is changing pixels, it's going to be draining your battery no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
So there you can see it just looped right there. So, yeah. So that's it. It's called Video Live Wallpaper. It's free. In the description, it says it's free for now. I don't know what that means. It said that for quite a while because I've actually had this one in my back pocket because I know I'm going to be on All About Android. So I have a list of things that I can pull out on a moment's notice. And this was one of those. So it said free for now for a while, but it is free. So go out and, you know, it's actually kind of fun to go out on YouTube. I didn't realize this until I found that little grass thing I showed earlier.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of looping videos on YouTube, like waterfalls and things like that. That you're like, oh, I wish this could be in a live wallpaper. You just don't have it. Or maybe it's your family. You know, maybe there's something with your family like this that's just, you know, kind of a looping thing that you think would be cool to see. And
do the trench run from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Just the looping thing.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff like that that are really cool that you could use with this device or this
entire
app,
so. Episode of All About Android.
It could be.
That loops
it could
all
be.
The time.
Yes. Yes. Or just a picture of us, like a static picture, you know, a picture of us where every once in a while we move, but then we're just sitting there, you know. That would be kind of fun. Someone can put that in a loop for us. Somebody on the. In the chat room.
Somebody
put that in a loop
that.
And I'll put it on my tablet.
There we go. That is Video Live Wallpaper Free. I think it had that in the title too. So.
I love how these descriptions now are just getting
the descriptions are becoming the titles.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent stuff. All right, Gina, I installed your game. Interestingly, I'm reviewing another game from this developer on this week's episode of Android App Arena.
Synergy. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
so,
I'll play it for the first time while you talk about it.
All right. Perfect. Cool. Yeah. So my pick this week is really simple, addictive game called Bounce. It's called Bounce, and it's by the developer's name is Ketchup, which I tell you just because there are other apps also called Bounce. So the idea is really simple. Jason's playing it right here. You've got a ball. It's bouncing. Your job is to get the ball to crash through the green lines. as many green lines as you can without having the ball fall. So the ball's constantly bouncing. You tap on the right and left side of the screen in order to make the ball go, you know, land on various or bounce off of various platforms. Yeah, there you go.
You got a one.
And yeah, so you went through the one, and there's all kinds of, there's little power-ups, and there are these turny things that give you a little boost to get you up to the next level. The orange ones you can kind of bounce through. You're doing great, Jason. This is your first time, is this your second time playing? This is good. Oh! And then, of course, you fall down. It's kind of hard. It's Flappy Bird-esque in that it's kind of hard. It's very simple. The mechanic is similar, except you're going vertically. And there's a bunch of these kind of little obstacles you have to get through. So it does, each board is, the board changes every time you restart the game. It's free with ads. And after you play a few times, and you will continue to play because it's super addictive, the ads do kind of get annoying. You can get rid of the ads for, I think it's $1.99 in-app purchase. And yeah, it's just, I mean, listen, it's not the most, pretty or complex design. Whoa.
I like the flat art design of it. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's very doodle. Very doodle jumpy in that it's a vertical scroller. But
I like the soundtrack too.
Yeah, the soundtrack's pretty good.
It is. Yeah, the music is pretty good. The design's very. It's very just very flat. You know, geometric. It's really but hard. I dig it. It's a little bit retro. It's a lot of fun. It's one of these games that's just perfect for. You know, you're on the bus, you're on the train, kill some time, and, you know, just kind of zone out.
Two.
A lot of fun.
Two. And
that's your best.
Two.
I like how it's different every time you play it.
Yeah.
That mixes it up, so that's pretty cool.
Right.
It does. And I've definitely been in scenarios where I'm like, what was I supposed to do in order to win that board? And you're not really sure, but you try again, and then you get a different board.
Yeah.
So it's, there's a lot of variety. And there's the really high jump ones. I mean, I've seen.
Did it?
Oh, man.
Best.
You'll be working all night to beat that two, aren't you?
Man, that two is hard to get. I'm going to get to three before this day is over. Man, that's a hard game.
it's hard to not pick up your phone and play this game again. Like, I played it a few times. I was like, okay, now I got my app for the show. And then I played it for a dozen more times after that. Like, I just want to make sure this is a good app, you know? But
it's
just kind of need to get more.
Excellent.
So, that's Bounce. Mm. Bounce by Ketchup.
Free, $1.99 to remove the ads. There you go.
Too bad.
Excellent.
Wow, this is a tough arena to dive into, coming off of the win. But
wonder if you can do it back-to-back.
I've got a little added extra bonus to my app this week.
A curveball, but
more of a nod to our good friend Brian. In a wonderful.
You've got my vote.
I got his vote already.
That's all it takes?
Because the app is called Corgi for Feedly. And the app is named after a brand of dog known as a Corgi, which I hear Brian likes. What it is actually a pretty cool app that integrates with Feedly. So if you are one of the many people who after the great Google Reader downfall occurred and you needed an RSS reader app and Feedly became your app of choice, what Corgi does is Corgi works with your Feedly subscriptions that you set up and adds a lock screen to your phone that serves you articles from your Feedly account. So in my particular case on Feedly, I'm subscribed to a bunch of entertainment and tech blogs and things like that. So now when I've got it installed, and here, Brian, you can go to it, I still have my smart lock with my phone on, so I still have the Android lock screen on, so just ignore that. It recommends you turn that off, and I'll get to that in a moment. But when I undo that, this is my new lock screen. And what you've got here is it pulls in a really nice use of material design, the photo, headline. And then if I swipe up, I get the article, and it's all behind the lock screen. Keep in mind, I'm not actually in my phone, but I'm getting that content.
Oh, wow.
And then if you swipe right, you get it. You can see another article, and it goes through all the other articles. And really great integration of using the artwork from the article in that background. See how it does that? Look at that. That's pretty neat. And this is great for, if you're on the bus – or you just want to, a lot of times, I scroll through Instagram just looking at photos. This is a great way to scroll through just headlines and news and stuff like that to see what's happening, to see what's going on. And if you want to see more about it, you can go and read more.
Ash versus Evil Dead.
I know. Exactly. It gives you an action button, so I can share it. I can launch it on the web. I can use the phone. I can use my camera. I can go back. So neat little action button. So it gives your lock screen a little more control. And then I'm going to go into my phone. If we go into the app itself to Corgi, what you can do is, this is the important thing I wanted to note, is that you can adjust your security screen. They don't offer all the options that the Android security screen does. They allow you to choose either just to swipe to undo the screen lock or to do a pattern. I would like to see a PIN number or a different form of security other than just a pattern, but at least you've got those options. So you can either add in where you swipe it or do the pattern. I'll go back to swipe. In addition to that, you get, if we go in the hamburger menu, you can manage your subscriptions. So these are all, it inherited all my subscriptions from Feedly. And so if I want to say, okay, I don't really want anything more from Entertainment Weekly, I can unsubscribe and those won't show up anymore. You can resubscribe very easily. And then it also helps you to browse topics, all pulling in from Feedly. It works well in that regard. So if I want a little more, some more tech blogs, I can go in and I can subscribe to Read Write and whomever else I want. So pretty simple app, but it's a neat way to get information onto your lock screen. So there you go. Corgi for Feedly. It's totally free. Great material design, great use of it, and interesting take on the lock screen solution.
Nice. So there you go. It gives you information on your lock screen that isn't like security.
Exactly.
You know, detrimental to security, which right. I think is a lot of people's kind of complaint with putting stuff on the lock screen. Is like, why do I want my messages to appear on the lock screen or whatever? But yep. It's just news stuff. So
yeah.
That's cool.
So it does.
Yes. Well,
my corgi gives it two paws up.
So it's important to note, though, that you can use the app without, you don't need to have Feedly installed on your phone, but it does synchronize with your subscriptions in Feedly.
Right.
So it's pulling off of what you're doing on Feedly to pull them in, but it does work on its own. So there you go.
That's going to be my question.
Yep.
You answered it ahead of time.
Cool.
Nice.
You read my mind.
But they've linked it to the sync functionality
right.
for Feedly. And
right.
of course they're kind of riding the coattails of Feedly to a certain degree, but sure. it's mm-hmm. a good use. It's a good use case. So
many readers are riding the coattails of Feedly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually covering in another strange bit of synergy. Feed readers yeah. on this week's episode of Android App Arena. And it's all about syncing up with Feedly, because Feedly is just kind of like the monster in the category, thanks to Google Reader's demise.
Yeah.
But so they all kind of sync into Feedly's APIs and stuff.
Yeah,
do interesting things. That's a really cool. Cool.
And plus,
thing.
it's a corgi. So now I've got Brian campaigning for me
for life.
Right, Brian, all week, you and me.
You got me on board, Ron.
All right,
that's all it takes.
That's how you got to work in the arena now. The arena's evolved where you just can't have a good app. You got to have Brian on your side.
You got to have an angle.
You got to have a corgi in your corner.
And right. two paws.
So let's see here. You can vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Snappy, Video Live Wallpaper, Bounce, or Corgi for Feedly? Go to AAApoll.com/204 and place your vote now. I will do so. And yes, right now, only right now. I'm curious to see once Brian casts his vote for the Corgi.
Snappy.
It's
close between Snappy and Corgi right now. Obviously, can change a lot and will. But that's the beauty of this. You can track it all week. If only you could set the poll to be your
to
background.
Live wallpaper.
Yeah, the live wallpaper
in
the background.
Cool.
You could see it all the time. We'll work on that. All right, that's it, folks. So awesome having you two on the show again, Aaron and Gina.
Yeah,
it's just been
good
a pleasure.
To be here.
Yeah, it's great to, be, to here. Be here.
So, Gina, I have to imagine you are doing things with this thing called ThinkUp. I tweeted out the F word yesterday, and
I think I've told you.
I didn't get a thing from ThinkUp that told me about the F word. At least I didn't in the email. I bet if I logged in, it would tell me.
I love that you. I love that you were looking to get the F bomb insight. We actually, the F bomb insight is on hiatus at the moment.
Oh.
We're kind of swapping things in and out.
Yeah,
so you will get credit for dropping that F bomb, just maybe not this week.
Maybe the yearly update. It'll be like one F bomb this year.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun working on ThinkUp, thinkup.com. I think so. The newest thing we released, we've been releasing all kinds of new stuff, but the newest thing we released is we should tell you now when your friends have changed their avatar. So we used to tell you when friends like would change their bio line, and now if your friend uploads a new picture for their avatar, you can see it. And I think on Ron's and yours, you can see avatar changes. So that's been really fun because we're getting a big high res image. And so Mashable changed because they had the notthere.org. Yeah, so that's been one of the more fun insights. So
do you have to in advance store the avatar on? I'm curious how this works on the back end, because once a Twitter user changes it, it's too late. It's changed, so you don't have access to the old version, right?
That's right. Yeah, so we're caching a lot of images.
Wow, I bet.
Right now. Yeah. Twitter does hold on to them for a little bit. So we've got this kind of proxy cacher thing that will hold on to old ones. And, you know, just to sort of align with Twitter's terms of service, you know, we don't keep stuff around too long because, you know, people change them. They want them changed for a reason. But it's a nice way to kind of – it's really cool to kind of see your friends, figure out, you know, present themselves in different ways. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm championing this cause. Or sometimes it's like, oh, I just did this, you know, really cool event. Or sometimes just like, oh, I think I'm better looking in this photo. So
yeah,
it's kind of fun to see.
Yeah, ThinkUp is just so awesome. 17 people retweeted Apple TV now slightly more expensive than a Chromecast dongle, which is true. They lowered the price.
You were Apple Live blogging, Jason. I was impressed.
It was fun, although I didn't want to get too trolly. I think maybe I did a couple of times.
It's a fine line. I did notice that.
But it was fun. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like, I mean, Apple events, I get excited about Apple events, even though I don't own most of the products that get announced.
It's not the same.
It's just, I don't know. I get swept up in it and everybody's super pumped about it. So I can't help myself.
I miss about them. I am so over. I've never been into Apple events. So it's there was an Apple event? What happened? Something?
I didn't watch the stream, but I watched on The Verge's live blog, and I was looking for, you know how they sometimes there are different settings you can do to like show photos, not show photos. Mm-hmm. I was really wishing there was like a snark, turn snark off. Just give me the specs. I don't need the jokes. Right. You know, I'm an old man, so it's fine. Anyway, but ThinkUp is awesome.
Yeah.
ThinkUp told me that 4 days ago on March 6th, I had one of my best tweets ever when 39 people favorited, and more than 13 times my usual 30-day average on March 6th. Brian, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, when I said, if today has taught us anything, it's that we are not emotionally prepared for anything to happen to Harrison Ford. That went over like gangbusters. That one got tons of retweets and favorites. So,
that was good. That was a good one.
Yeah,
I saw that one.
That's why I love ThinkUp. Although, when are you updating the homepage?
Gonna keep asking.
So Ron, I'm saving. So we're working on Instagram support. I can say this because we're open source. So if you look at our commit log, you'll see that we've been working on Instagram. And and you're like the Instagram master, Ron. So I think I'm saving the big reveal, the homepage insight for you.
I posted a pretty sweet picture of fried chicken on Sunday. I'm just saying.
you gram some good looking food there.
I definitely partook in the fried chicken on Sunday, and I've told everyone on the Instagram. I Instagrammed it.
So, I blame you for now really wanting fried chicken myself.
It was so good. Can I next time in San Francisco go to Brenda's Meat and Three? It was under Visadero. It was very good. Very good fried chicken.
They have waffles?
I don't know.
Chicken and waffles?
No, I'm really hungry. Diner place.
I love diners.
I want to eat
that. Good.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Be better with waffles, though. Maple syrup. Mm.
That looks awesome.
Good stuff.
And Gina, you are on This Week in Google tomorrow, right?
Yes, I am. Very excited. It's a doubleheader this week.
Awesome. Well, super excited about that. It's just always such a pleasure to get you back on the network and on the show, so thank you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for keeping me up to date with the news, you know.
Absolutely. Aaron, what about you? You got a lot going on
there. I got a lot going on, yeah. We are doing this little thing called a Mini Maker Faire over in Benicia.
Awesome. Cool.
And that's our maker space that I'm the president of is sponsoring that, kind of planning that thing. So if you're in anywhere around the Bay Area and you like to go to Maker Faires, come to our little Maker Faire. It's our first year, so we'd love to have as many people as possible. You can find out more about that at BeniciaMakerFaire.com. Other than that, you can catch me here on the Twit Network. Mentioned a couple of times this week in Google, which was fun to be on. I hadn't been on in a while, so that was last week. If you missed that, go out and download it, check it out. And also, of course, Floss Weekly is another show that I frequent. I try to annoy people on Floss Weekly as much as possible. So you can check that out as well. And that's what we talked about last week, Crisis Cleanup. That's a pretty cool open source volunteer resource management tool. When there's a crisis, a flood, a earthquake, whatever, you can kind of coordinate. People can coordinate. And it's kind of like a ticketing system or a Craigslist system. It's like someone says, I've got 20 people that need overnight lodging, you know, and some church or something can say, yes, I'll take those 20 people.
Oh, wow.
So it really,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's all open source. So there's that as well. And do reviews for BYB occasionally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm all over the place. And of course, you can always follow me on Google Plus. I'm Aaron Newcomb on Google Plus. Love to talk to people, hang out with people, interact with people on Google Plus. So.
Right on. Always such a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, it's always fun to be here. I'm glad. It's kind of like a family reunion. Like
I know, it really is.
I like it. It's a good
crew. It's like, where's the turkey? Shouldn't we be having a meal or something?
There's some fried chicken earlier. That's the best I could do there, Aaron.
Stomach is grumbling right now,
yeah.
Thanks to your fried chicken.
Fried chicken and Star Wars. It's a good
really
get-together.
Good fried it's a good chicken. Day when you got fried chicken
and
Star
Wars. Is a really good combination.
That's hard to beat.
Yeah, I know. You can see more pictures of fried chicken by following me on the various social networks like Google+ and Instagram and Twitter and all that fun stuff. You can find all those links at about.me/RonXO. And during the day, I'm over at Image Comics in Berkeley helping them make some of the best comics in the world. And you can go download them. They're on Google Play Books where you can buy them from there. You can get them DRM-free direct from imagecomics.com. So check that out. So, yeah.
What about you, Brian? Master of the vacation?
Yeah. I guess I don't know who is spreading the rumor about me being sick, but I had a good vacation last weekend. I went down to Hearst Castle. So I don't know if you guys have visited that, but
it's very cool. I've been there three times.
Yeah, it's very cool. Kind of scary that someone could accumulate that much wealth, but definitely a cool place to visit. Used Google's story stuff to make a little photo album.
Oh, wow. Hearst Castle's changed a lot since I was there.
It wasn't just Hearst Castle. We did. We finished the trip by going down to Disneyland, too. So.
As you do.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Google+. I think it's google.com/+BrianBurnett. Fortunately, got that vanity URL. But yeah, like the pool thing.
The pool with the gold leaf inlays on the tile. Like, yes. Imagine, like, instead of grout in between the tiles, it's gold.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it's William Randolph Hearst built this amazing castle in San Simeon, and it's beautiful views and just insane.
Yeah. I think one of the ceilings that was in the smoking room was 12 years old by the time Christopher Columbus discovered America. So I was just, my mind was not able to handle most of that stuff. But it was a cool trip. I missed out on the show, but I'm here for the next few weeks, so don't worry.
Nice. It's awesome having you back. And
glad
your dulcet
to be back.
Tones on the news intro.
Yeah, did Zach do anything for that? I didn't prepare him at all.
Zach was all right. Zach held his own.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
did a fantastic job.
Yes.
He pitched in on the news intro.
He did his old timey news voice.
Yeah, it was. I give Zach A++. Would TD again?
Yes.
Yes, I would. Yes,
that's my boy Zach. I trained him well.
Yep.
We have TD reviews
exactly.
We publish to the site. Yes.
Would TD
would
again? Would TD again. Good seller, good buyer, great transaction. A+.
Man,
we'll
this
do
is
business
like
again.
Flashbacks to eBay, man.
Yeah.
So, CBS's, eBay, yes, all about retro.
99.5% positive.
You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. You can follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com when I do stuff there, which isn't very often lately. But, you know, there's other music there that's already there that I'm not creating now that I created then, and you can get it. Also want to mention, twit.tv/arena, by the way, if you want to check out my other Android show. Real quick here, any fans who are watching this show that were fans once upon a time of a show that I produced called Buzz Out Loud over at CNET, Ron apparently is one.
He's a huge fan. That's why I got into podcasting. I ripped that format off so hard.
That is awesome. Did Buzz Out Loud, you know, at CNET for years with Tom Merritt, Molly Wood, Veronica Belmont, and a whole host of other awesome people. We're doing a 10-year reunion episode.
Oh, cool.
Crazy.
/party. Of course, the show isn't around anymore, but, 10 years ago on March, I believe, 30th of 2005 was the first episode of Buzz Out Loud. So on Sunday, March 29th, from 12:30 to 4 o'clock,
We're doing a 10-year kind of reunion episode. It was announced earlier today. It's on the same day as a TWiT, and as you know, I produce TWiT. So I'm probably only going to be there for a part of the day, probably the very first part of it, but I really want to be involved with it. But it's going to be a lot of fun. If you're in the Bay Area, you can go to Eventbrite. Do a search for Eventbrite, Buzz Out Loud, and you'll find kind of all the details. It's free. It's going to be a whole day thing. It's also going to be streaming online and everything. Just go to the Eventbrite and you'll find all the information. And I'm sure I'll be tweeting about that as we get closer because I'm really looking forward to it. Good
so
people.
Cool. Congratulations.
And it'll be good to kind of get back. And,
wait, that's the South by South.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. Apparently we used Eventbrite for a few things. There is a bit.ly. It's bit.ly/OOL reunion. The capitals throw it off with bit.ly. If you do it in a lowercase, then it doesn't work, which is kind of a bummer. We should make that work. But anyways, check it out.
You think it's 2015, we'd have an easier way to do this.
Yeah, URLs. Oh, man. But there you go. All right, that's it for this week. What a fun episode. So great to have all of you here. You can leave us a voicemail, as usual, 347-SHOW-AAA. Don't get many of them, so please leave me a voicemail. We might even play it on the show. Email, video mail can be sent to AAA@twit.tv. We're on Twitter at Android Show. We're on Google Plus. Just search for All About Android and the community there. We're on Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA, as well as YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. I made it in time.
Good job.
Bye, guys.
Bye.